I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, a new federal indictment against left-wing extremists could mark a new chapter in the fight against Antifa. Plus, newly released footage shows Seattle's socialist mayor's cavalier attitude toward wealth flight, and Governor Bob Ferguson's moral hypocrisy is on full display. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. And right now we are doing 30% off. We do a once yearly promo on Undivided, 30% off an entire year. Go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I will say it's days like today that give me the courage and energy to keep getting out of bed and doing this job and talking about how depressing the state of things is, because we got to take the wins where we can get them. You guys know that we had Savannah Hernandez on the show, Turning Point USA reporter, on Sunday to talk about her brutal attack at the hands of left-wing extremists in Minneapolis outside an ICE facility there. Absolutely insane. There was also, of course, this video of her being shoved to the ground aggressively by a grown 300-pound man. I'm just assuming he's 300 pounds. Looks about like 300 pounds. Just wild what happened to her in Minneapolis. She was doing nothing wrong. She was sitting there doing her job as a journalist. We had her on the show Sunday. We talked about it, the fact that there had been no charges against her. And this news came out this morning. In fact, it was my husband that called me. My husband, because he knows how much I've been impacted by far-left violence. He knows how much I care about far-left extremism. I was getting ready this morning. I was running around super busy, and I get a call from him, and he said, hey, they just indicted people in the attack on Savannah Hernandez. So it hasn't been unsealed yet, but the big news here is this is federal. This is a federal indictment. According to Fox News, two suspects indicted in assault of Turning Point USA reporter Savannah Hernandez during Minneapolis ICE protest. They cited sources with the federal government and said that they expected the indictment to be unsealed later today. So we're going to wait for that. I'm assuming that the two individuals, because there was a family, three people, mom, dad, a daughter, who assaulted Savannah. But the two who I guess were more aggressive in their assault was the dad, who pushed her to the ground, and then the daughter. I think the mom should be charged too, but maybe feds couldn't come up with a federal reason to justify it. But Savannah responded to this, and I'm going to talk about the wider implications of this, but she says, huge news, a federal grand jury has decided to bring indictments against two of the violent protesters who assaulted me in Minneapolis. No word yet on which of the three are being indicted, but I'm extremely grateful to the DOJ for moving so swiftly on this. Justice is coming. As I said, we had Savannah on Sundays with Subscribers just this past week, and she expressed, you know, frustration that local officials hadn't brought charges yet, but we talked more broadly about how it really needed to be feds, I think, to come in and charge this case so there was justice.
If we were living in a sane society, we wouldn't even need to be doing this or discussing this, but we don't. And these people have been allowed to commit, quite frankly, domestic terrorism on our soil for far too long. This isn't like this was a one-off situation with me. No, I mean, let's go all the way back to Andy Ngo. Let's, you know, look at the country before Andy Ngo even, but he should have been the catalyst. I mean, the fact that he was attacked not once, but twice, and then you have multiple other journalists who have experienced the exact same thing. I mean, we need to really lay down the law.
Yeah, and here's what's so remarkable about this. And it's great that just a couple days after she's saying the feds need to get involved, the feds get involved. And the FBI had come out early on and said, we're looking into this. But I think the question was, how are they going to make it a federal case? And we'll find out when the indictments are unsealed. But if you have the federal government that is now willing to prosecute street level attacks by radical extremists, which they haven't been willing to do before. Usually those are state cases. I mean, we had the top federal prosecutor for Seattle in the Western District of Washington on Sundays with Subscribers 2 weeks ago. And I asked him about this. I said, hey, when can feds take these cases and when can they not take these cases? Because I expressed a lot of frustration. I mean, think of the number of attacks on independent journalists in just the last year or so. Cam Higby brutally beaten over the head. That ended up being a state case, a very rare instance where they were charged. I've been assaulted numerous times, but most recently, about a year ago, outside an ICE facility in Tukwila, one person has been charged, but there's still several people who local police were not able to identify using their resources. Of course, Savannah, I mean, our friend Katie Davis Court, our friend Jonathan Cho, so many, into Nick Sorter. Nick Sorter was assaulted down in Portland outside the ICE facility. That ended up being local charges, and it was jury nullification. Even though it was on camera, a jury in far-left Portland decided, nah, she didn't do anything wrong. And so if you have a situation now where the federal government will say, we'll take that case, we'll prosecute street-level assaults on journalists or whoever else it might be, by, I hope, anyone who's assaulting someone for a political or social reason in pursuit of a political or social agenda, that's game over for Antifa. I truly believe that, because that has been sort of the missing piece in showing that there is no safe harbor for these radical left-wing extremists in deep blue jurisdictions. Because that's where all these assaults happen. Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. Because these factions have been led to believe over many years that they can attack conservatives or police officers and get away with it. And there's just no consequence for it because there hasn't been. So their conduct has gotten more dangerous and more dangerous and more dangerous. Now, if they're going to be charged federally and potentially go to federal prison, that changes the calculus entirely. Now, I've said about Antifa that I think it's sort of like 80% loners, low IQ, kind of hangers-on. They're looking for a sense of belonging. And they're not true believers in anything, really. They're just sort of, they're the issue of the day. But there's that maybe, and there's the geriatrics that have been involved recently, but there's like a 10% faction of really diehard extremists who they don't care if they go to federal prison. They don't care if they get killed in pursuit of the agenda they're carrying out. That's not the people I'm talking about. But if you get rid of the other like 80 to 90%, because now they start to see, oh my gosh, I might be arrested by the federal government over this. And so they're like, that's not worth it. Then I think it's much easier to target the 10% of true believers and true extremists who want to tear down the United States government and are willing to kill people they disagree with. So this is huge. I cannot overstate how significant it is. Of course, I want to read the indictments when they get unsealed by the federal government and see what was the nexus they were able to use to say, no, this is a federal case. Was it on federal property? Because I think it was outside the fence, so I'm not sure about that. Was it the fact that she was exercising her First Amendment rights under the United States Constitution when they brutally beat her? We will find out. The first text I made today, besides to Savannah, was to our friend Andy Ngo. So one of the things, and Savannah said it in that clip on Sundays with Subscribers, is, you know, it shouldn't have taken this. It shouldn't have taken... And I think the optics of this were clear. She's like 5'2", 100 pounds soaking wet, being shoved to the ground by a grown man. It was like, if the feds don't charge that, the optics of that are horrible, right? But it shouldn't have ever gotten to this point. That never should have happened to Savannah, because there should have been a demonstration years ago when this first started happening in earnest to independent journalists that this is not going to stand. And I think Andy Ngo represents one of the most significant and earliest cases of this sort of radical violence against journalists. He was brutally assaulted twice in Portland. Gosh, I want to say it was around like 2013 was the first time. And this started this pattern because nothing happened to the people who chased him through the streets and beat him bloody. Nothing happened to them. And I think had it happened to them in a very blue jurisdiction like Portland, then the example is set. And then they realize it can't be done anymore. And so I was glad that Savannah Hernandez mentioned Andy Ngo when she was on the show, like, this should have been done with Andy. You know, we shouldn't have seen all these people assaulted over the years, culminating into what happened to her in Minneapolis. So I reached out to Andy Ngo, and here's what he told me about the news of the federal indictment. He said far-left extremists have been able to carry out acts of violence against members of the media for years because they have rarely faced legal accountability. That lack of consequences has emboldened them. He went on to say, I'm thankful this federal prosecution marks the beginning of a more aggressive DOJ effort to protect the rights of journalists in the field wherever possible. And again, not conservative journalists, not independent journalists, because we have moral consistency. Any journalist and anybody, no matter who the attacker is, if you're assaulting people in pursuit of a political or social agenda, you need to be brought to justice. It shouldn't be allowed in the United States of America. That's how things get so bad that Charlie Kirk is assassinated and people keep trying to kill President Trump. You know, you have a whole wide range of political violence happening in this country, and every single instance of it is serious. And so, and you'll always hear me, and I always have, spoken out against right-wing violence on journalists, which there was definitely a period of time where that was happening. It happened at the state capitol in Washington when they tried to climb over a fence and breach the governor's mansion, and Governor Inslee and his wife Trudy had to hide in a closet. Unacceptable. Those people were prosecuted, though. Those people were arrested. Same when you had right-wingers, I think it was also in 2021, who were using pepper spray on mainstream journalists outside the Capitol. Of course, I was in mainstream news at the time. It was horrible. That person was arrested very quickly and spent time in jail. And so we're consistent on that end and saying, hey, we condemn that. Let's make sure that there's justice. Why isn't the mainstream media consistent in saying, hey, that's horrible. Let's make sure there's justice? Because they're just not good people in some instances, I guess, and they have no moral consistency. But as Andy said, we need to protect journalists in the field no matter what. And no one deserves to be assaulted for any reason, and especially over political and social agendas, radical political and social agendas. So it's so significant. We'll have more, I think, tomorrow on what the indictment entails and if there is now this new avenue for feds to be able to take these street-level assaults and actually do something with them when cities like Seattle, Portland, LA, and Minneapolis will not. All right, we've got some newly surfaced video to share with you. This is going to be the first place you're seeing this video, and we've been waiting for it because we got word that this is several weeks ago now, I think before our vacation, mid-April, that Katie Wilson had said something just insane and asinine about the current business climate in Washington State at a private event. And so we finally have video of it. We'll play it momentarily. But Katie Wilson, I think, is having the new socialist mayor is having some challenges responding to tough questions, specifically tough questions related to like the exodus of businesses like Starbucks. I mean, she gets elected to office. One of her first things she did is go out and protest Starbucks and say, I'm not going to drink Starbucks and you shouldn't either. And Starbucks is like, all right, peace out, bye. And so, you know, for instance, we played this clip yesterday where I think it was Cairo 7 confronted her about Starbucks leaving and she just like didn't want to answer the question at all.
Just your thoughts about it, and is there any concern about other businesses leaving?
Because this is a big Starbucks in Seattle.
This is, again, not the subject of our press conference.
Yes, I wouldn't want to answer it either because, you know, she is in part responsible for the 2,000 jobs that Seattle is going to lose. So the event I'm talking about happened at Seattle University. It was the New Progressives, a conversation with Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson and King County Executive Girmay Zahalai. And so somebody we know went to this and texted us and told us that Katie Wilson had been asked about, you know, the new income tax on millionaires and the reality of capital flight and wealth flight and business owners leaving and the impact that it would have on our economy. I kid you not, this is what she said.
I think the claims that millionaires are going to leave our state are like super overblown. And if, you know, the ones that leave, like, bye.
How you cannot be the mayor and be that cavalier about what will be an economic catastrophe for your city and the state. Bye. And also repeating the lie that, oh, it's being overblown, the exodus. The largest donor for Democrats in Washington state, billionaire Nick Hanauer, just said, as we told you yesterday in an op-ed in GeekWire, that every rich person he's friends with is leaving. And he called it a catastrophe. So don't take it from me. I mean, Howard Schultz, Jeff Bezos, how many AI tech entrepreneurs have come out and said, yeah, we're leaving, we're out of here. So, and we knew that, she said this 2 weeks ago, just getting the video now, it was very apparent that the wealth exodus had begun in earnest. And so for her to sit there and gaslight the audience or maybe lie to herself and say, ah, it's not going to be that bad. But, you know, the ones that do leave buy and laughs about what will be a devastating economic event that the city, for a city that's already struggling. And that's the woman in charge of the city of Seattle right now. Horrifying. So the longer context of, I'll play the longer clip of what she said. She was talking about, you know, about 10 years ago, this idea that there would be, you know, a wealth tax when people first started talking about it. And she thought at the time that'll never happen. And so her surprise and gleefulness that it has.
It was very, very exciting to see the millionaire tax pass through the legislature. Actually, one of my early, like, I guess I would say, like, the first big citywide coalition, big campaign that I helped to run was back in 2017, right after Trump got elected for the first time. We ran a campaign where we were basically pushing the Seattle City Council to pass an income tax on high-income households, knowing that that was going to be legally challenged because we have this, you know, big history in our state of, you know, 1930s court decisions saying that you can't do a progressive income tax. So, and that was a measure that passed unanimously through the council and then got tied up in court. So, and at that time, I mean, the idea that you would have the state legislature pass a progressive income tax was pretty far-fetched. So it's just really, really exciting about 10 years later to see that actually happen. I think the claims that millionaires are going to leave our state are like super overblown. And if, you know, the ones that leave, like, bye.
People clap and puke. Doesn't that just, it gives me dread. And these are well-to-do people who have time to go to a political event at Seattle University, probably sort of the blue hairs who are out there at the No Kings protest, clapping. How do you think Katie Wilson, socialist, you're going to pay for all this free, quote-unquote, stuff that you want to give people? What do you think the tax base is in the city of Seattle? It's insane. I mean, that's someone that fundamentally doesn't understand the impact that this will have, even though it's so widely acknowledged, even though one of the biggest Democrat progressive donors in the state is saying it's a catastrophe and a stupid idea, that she doesn't understand it and she would cheer it on. Not only that she doesn't understand it, she would cheer it on and say, oh, bye, it's a good thing. Bye, good thing that we're losing 2,000 jobs from Starbucks and they're going to Tennessee. Bye. And what is it? We got 3 more years of that? Absolutely insane. I don't know how Seattle recovers from this, and I don't know how it navigates what is going to be a very tumultuous time for the city and the economy with that woman on the 7th floor of City Hall. All right, coming up next, Governor Bob Ferguson, we know he's a total hypocrite, but the lack of morality and moral consistency that he's showing when it comes to the treatment, how people are treated behind bars in the state of Washington is astounding. We'll have that coming up next. First, if you're thinking about, I don't know, moving to Tennessee, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes has been, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I don't want to lose any common sense people, he's been helping a lot of our viewers and listeners who are looking to move out of state, and he just gets great reviews. Jim H. says, we packed our bags and hit the road to a new state, but we jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. A giant shout out to Ebby on his team for her incredible support, unwavering dedication, and tireless effort. Together, they turned our long distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end. I mean, where are you going to hear selling your house when you've already moved out of state described as a breezy walk in the park? So go to sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, and you can go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes. Peruse some of his recent listings and what they've been able to achieve for clients. And I think right now, the most important starting point is a free market analysis from Wes, because there are more homes going on the market. And so that can kind of change the calculus of what you'll be able to get for your home, how long it might take to sell, maybe what work you have to do on the front end. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. God grant me the serenity not to scream and curse and maybe cry during this segment. So Governor Bob Ferguson and Attorney General Nick Brown had a press conference where they're talking about trying to force their way into the Northwest Ice Processing Center in Tacoma. So he said on X, today I announced we're seeking a court order to permit health inspections at the Northwest ICE Processing Center, which is like the detention center where they send people who are either awaiting deportation or whatever it is. He said, the law is clear. We have the legal authority. GEO Group, which operates the center, has obstructed our efforts. We've beaten GEO in court before and we'll beat them again. So he basically says this private company that runs the ICE detention facility isn't letting their health inspectors in. And he said during this press conference that the conditions that these undocumented fellow Washingtonians are dealing with are horrible.
The owner of this facility, the GEO Group, has continued to obstruct our efforts to ensure they are following state law. We have received over 3,500 complaints about the conditions here. And I'm just going to give a high-level snapshot of some of the complaints that we're seeing. More than 990 complaints relate to water, food, and air quality. Detainees have complained that food is contaminated with burned plastic, metal string, splinters, hair, and worms. Detainees report that the food, and I'm quoting now, appears rotten, has been served on dirty trays, and contains bugs. I want to be perfectly clear. We will not allow GEO Group's continued obstruction and brazen disregard for state law to go unchallenged.
Now, Bob Ferguson, let me demonstrate for you how really easy it is to be morally consistent on this issue. If those things are true, then it needs to be dealt with. If those things are true, then it's totally inappropriate, and it is something that health inspectors need to look at. I don't disagree with that. When you have someone, even if they're being detained and they're an illegal alien or whatever it is, there is a responsibility there. If you're feeding them melted plastic, is that what he said, and worms or whatever it is, I agree with you. Now, do I think all of those claims are legitimate? Do I think maybe it's overblown by illegals who know that people like you will listen to what they say and, I don't know, try to get them out of the detention facility? Sure. But I don't know. I haven't been in there in a while. I think I was last in this particular facility for a tour where I didn't see any of that, but it was maybe 5 years ago or so at the tail end of the first Trump administration. But here's my issue, obviously. Bob Ferguson has his big press conference, wants to seek a court order to look at the conditions that illegal aliens are being held in a federal facility. Well, at the same time, today, in state-run prisons, he subjects women to fully intact males, puts them behind lock and key with those men so they can be raped, so they can be beaten bloody, so they can have a man, 6-foot-4 man, stand over them and masturbate over them. And he says nothing about it. He supports it. We just talked yesterday about the lawsuit over an issue that we've been talking about for years and that Democrats seem okay with, the placement of biological men in the women's correctional facility in Washington state. And the horrors that these women claim that they have been subjected to. You know, the one example in a lawsuit is an offender, convicted child sex offender, 6'4", fully intact. One of the women who filed a separate lawsuit says that this guy sexually assaulted her for months. She was forced to share a cell with him. He masturbated in front of her. He groped her while she slept. He repeatedly threatened her with rape. Where's the press conference on that, Bob Ferguson? Where is even an ounce of care or concern from your office on that? So you're okay with a state-run prison where women are raped, where women are beaten bloody by men. That you'll turn a blind eye to. But illegal aliens being served moldy food? That is all hands on deck. And that shows you ideologically poisoned. And again, you can care about both of them. I care about both of them. If those things, as I said, if those are true, let's deal with it. But say one thing, Bob. Say one thing about the women and what your radical gender ideology is subjecting those women to behind bars. But you won't, because the ideology comes first. This isn't about really caring about how people are treated behind bars. This is about dunking on the Trump administration. This is about another thing with all federal government and ICE, and we're fighting ICE. You're not fighting for those illegal aliens. You're fighting against Trump. You're fighting against ICE to try to raise your own political profile. Because if it was about how the illegal aliens were being treated behind bars, you would also care about how people are being treated in your own state prisons. But you don't. And I think another good comparison for this came from our friend Andrea Suarez. She responded to Bob Ferguson. She said, I'm glad to hear of recent concerns over unsafe, squalid-infested, rotting food conditions in government-funded operations. Please, though, investigate low-barrier homeless shelters and permanent supportive housing for our very own addicted homeless population in need. And she shared a photo of a guy that used to volunteer with We Heart Seattle. His name was Mike. He was trying to get back on his feet. Got shoved into one of these Plymouth housing things where he overdosed and he died. And as they've shown in so many of these instances, these taxpayer-funded, low-barrier housing facilities in Washington are all of the things that Bob is complaining about for illegal aliens. How many videos, how many deaths have to take place in those facilities? Plymouth Housing and the like, before Bob Ferguson says, let's have a press conference and let's improve the conditions for the homeless individuals who are trying to get off drugs and turn their lives around. No, you just put a roof over their head. There's still drugs in there. I mean, some of the videos that Jonathan showed, the filth and squalor, it looks like an episode of Hoarders Buried Alive. But then you add drug use on top of it, and you've got people sitting in there in filth and squalor and rotting trash and food waste, putting dirty needles in their arms and dying in taxpayer-funded low-barrier housing facilities. And Bob Ferguson doesn't say shit, doesn't say jack, doesn't have a press conference because he can't blame it on Trump. He can't blame that on Trump, so he doesn't care about it. If he can't frame Trump for it, he doesn't care about it. So you can die in a taxpayer-funded affordable housing facility in Washington state. You can live in there in filth and squalor, infested with rats, bugs crawling all over your body, eating away your flesh. You can get raped in the women's prison in Washington state, run by Bob Ferguson's Department of Corrections. You can have a grown man as a woman locked in a cell with you, masturbating over you, beating you bloody. Bob Ferguson doesn't care about that because he can't blame it on Donald Trump. And the only thing that matters to him are political calculations. Not only will he go down in history as the worst governor ever for our state's economy, but he will go down in history as the most morally bankrupt governor ever of any state in the nation. He should be ashamed of himself, but he's not capable of shame. For the love of God, the fact that people in this state don't see that the majority of voters vote for that is something I will never be able to comprehend. A couple key hearings we want to talk to you about that are going to be unfolding today and tomorrow. And we just want to put them on your radar because, you know, once they happen, whatever the rulings are going to be significant. So you'll know there's two unconstitutional laws. Well, there's more than two that were passed this session in Washington state, but two that are going through legal proceedings. So we mentioned that four Eastern Washington sheriffs sued the state of Washington over the bill that allows them to be removed from office at the whim of an unelected board of bureaucrats. So that lawsuit is scheduled for its first hearing at 2 p.m. today. And so we're going to be monitoring that at 2 p.m., letting you know what happens in that hearing, whether there's any sort of significant rulings or anything this early on. I know that, you know, there's elections coming up. And so I think for sheriff's candidates who are on the ballot, they deserve to know whether they're going to be elected to a position that they can be easily removed from or whether they're going to be elected to a position they'll be able to keep. And so this has to be sorted out, I think, before the elections, because what happens if you've got, I think there's at least a couple sheriff's candidates on the ballot who don't meet the new qualifications that politicians outlined for them. So what happens if this bill is put on hold, they get elected, and then all of a sudden the bill goes into effect, and what, they just get removed from office? So this has to be sorted out in a hurry. So hearing on that at 2 p.m. And then tomorrow, the state Supreme Court justices are going to be meeting en banc to decide what to do about the lawsuit challenging the inability to file a referendum against the new income tax. We talked very briefly this morning with Brian Haywood over the phone about what was going to happen during this hearing. And I think this is just sort of the justices getting together and deciding, how do we proceed with this claim? So as you know, the way they wrote the income tax law, they put this sort of necessity clause onto it that prohibits voters from running a referendum on it. Referendums are easier, they're cheaper, and so Let's Go Washington wants to be able to run a referendum. So what it's really challenging here is, I think, the abuse of these clauses. Democrats will tack it onto anything that they think voters will run a referendum on just to make it more difficult. So they're challenging that, and they're challenging it specifically as it relates to this income tax proposal. So there's, you know, I think some precedent here that doesn't go in Let's Go Washington's favor, but we'll see, you know, what latitude the Supreme Court is willing to give them tomorrow and how that will proceed. Now, if they say, no, sorry, there's precedent here, you can't run a referendum on this, then I think Let's Go Washington will immediately go into initiative mode. And they already, of course, several people who are filing a suit together against the income tax, that ball is already rolling with former Attorney General Rob McKenna and former State Supreme Court Justice Phil Talmadge at the helm of that lawsuit. So there's a lot of different irons in the fire, so to speak. So we'll have our eye on the sheriff one today. I'm also going to appear at an event tomorrow with Pierce County Sheriff Keith Swank. This isn't about Keith Swank. I mean, I think he's their first target with the sheriff bill, but it's about voters being the only ones who should be able to decide who's qualified to be their sheriff, an unelected board of bureaucrats. So I look forward to standing with Keith Swank tomorrow to show my opposition to this bill, but we'll let you know what happens at the hearing. All right, we'll get to our segment, Unbelievable. State of Washington hired a paroled murderer, and it didn't go very well. It's really shocking, I know. We'll dive into it. First, summer is, gosh, it feels like summer's upon us. What is the official first day of summer? June. You know what I also just noticed?
June 21st or 2nd or something.
Did
like
you
that.
Also notice what I just noticed?
I don't know.
I didn't put any eye makeup on.
Oh, you know, I did notice that a little bit ago, but.
Well, I don't have any mascara on or eyeliner. I feel naked. Look at me, all natural. I guarantee people in the comments. We were in a little bit of a hurry before the show today, and I forgot. So here's what I look like without eyeliner mascara on. Great. I'm sure all these clips all look just beautiful in them. You know what, women? It's fine. All natural is all the rage now. All the rage.
That's true.
Sydney Sweeney's getting all these compliments for not having crazy Botox, like because her forehead actually makes wrinkles when she goes like this. People are like, wow, that's nice. So anyway, there you have it. Here's my wrinkles.
There you go.
And here's my... Anyway, what was I doing?
You look lovely.
Summer's right around the corner. So Valentine Roofing says that its schedule is filling up fast. And so if you want to get your roof done sooner rather than later, now is a really good time to call Valentine for an estimate and lock it in. So there's still time to beat the summer rush. Get your roof started in as little as 3 weeks. And then when the nice weather hits, you're just going to be enjoying your deck and your backyard instead of worrying about your roof. And there's another reason to get it done sooner rather than later because of what's happening in Iran. Increased cost of crude oil means material prices will go up, shipping prices will go up. So lock in your price now before the market absorbs all those price increases because it hasn't quite yet. So call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING to get a clear estimate you can trust. And when you see that red Valentine van pull in your driveway, you know you're in good hands. Call 206-ROOFING today. Tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. All right, so there is it was all this initial controversy. It doesn't surprise me when the government hires like ex-cons. And I think, frankly, I'm okay with ex-cons getting a second chance. That doesn't bother me one bit. But I'm also not gonna be surprised when someone who committed cold-blooded murder turns out to not be the best employee. Let's talk about it in our segment. Unbelievable. So there's a guy named Jeremiah Bourgeois. Is that how you say it? Bourgeois. We're going to say it like that. Jeremiah Bourgeois. So he was in prison, got let out early, and got a really cush job with the state of Washington, being like a watchdog for the Department of Corrections. Well, he got fired. So this is the headline from the Seattle Times. Governor fires Waugh prison watchdog, citing insubordination. So here's some details from Jim Bruner at the Times. Governor Ferguson has fired the head of the state's independent prison watchdog office, accusing him of insubordination and misconduct amid an ethics investigation. Jeremiah Bourgeois, director of the Office of the Corrections Ombudsman, had been suspended with pay from the position earlier this week, according to an April 20th letter. The governor's chief operating officer told Bourgeois he was assigned to home duty and paid while the state investigated complaints of unethical and unprofessional conduct, ordering him to halt all work and contact with the office's employees until the probe was complete. But Bourgeois refused to follow those restrictions and publicly accused the governor's office of undermining his work. Okay, how'd that go? Well, Ferguson fired him. And actually, good for Bob Ferguson. You got an employee who you're like, stay at home, do your work, shut up while this investigation happens, and then you go publicly and criticize the governor? Yeah, I'd probably fire you too. So it says, Bourgeois knows the prison system well. He spent 27 years locked up after getting a life sentence at the age of 14 for fatally shooting a mini-mart owner in 1992. But this is Washington State after all. So he was released in 2019 after legal reforms rescinded mandatory life without parole sentences for people convicted of murder as juveniles. So he went on, he graduated from Gonzaga Law, he was appointed to the state's Sentencing Guidelines Commission, and his life has been held up in news articles and tributes as a story of redemption. So Ferguson appointed him director of the Ombud office late last year. His annual salary, $143,000. Good work if you can get it, better work if you can get it as a murderer and ex-con. And then I love this line from the Seattle Times. So it says, Ferguson quietly appointed him the director of the Ombud office late last year. His salary is $143,000. It has not gone smoothly. It has not gone smoothly. So again, there's this investigation going on into accusations that he's basically just kind of not being a good boss at work. And he rejected the orders to go on home assignment this week in a defiant email that he shared with the Seattle Times, writing that the governor's office had, quote, no authority to instruct me as to how I conduct my work. Gosh, something tells me that your boss does indeed have authority on how to instruct you. On how, that's like a prison mentality. You have no authority over me. In the letter this week, governor's staff said Bourgeois had been accused of an array of personnel and ethical violations, including misusing a prison ID badge and state vehicle and awarding a contract to a friend, keeping it at under $10,000 to avoid review. So again, not exactly a surprise coming from someone who killed a crime victim who was set to testify against his brother. That's what he did at the age of 14. This is an article, again, he's been held up as this redemption story. This was in 2018, shortly before he was granted early release. From the Seattle PI, Seattle man who killed at 14 wonders if he'll be freed. Yeah, and so he basically, it says, so his brother was on trial, was accused of, there was a crime victim that was going to testify him, testify against him, right? And he went and he killed the crime victim after that, yeah, because he was pretty all brutally. Mad about it. Yeah, pretty brutally. And then, shot him twice, stormed into a store, opened fire, shot him twice. This clerk sat there dying for 4 hours before succumbing to his wounds. And so Bourgeois was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And once he got out, of course, he started advocating for formerly incarcerated people to be treated like kings. This is from Truth Out. Formerly incarcerated people should be compensated for telling their stories. Expecting us to tell our incarceration stories to people who are paid to be there is yet another inequity we suffer. So he's like, you want me to tell my story? You need to pay me to tell my story. Which also, fine. I don't think it's an inequity. But if the story you're telling is worth being paid, then yeah, I charge for speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. And if people think it's worth it, they'll pay it. Exactly. If they don't, they won't. So yeah, I mean, it's not some inequity. Ask them to pay you. If they don't want to, then don't go speak to them. But it's just this victim mentality, right? So, yeah, I mean, I could have told Governor Ferguson that there might be some issues with a guy with that big of a victim mentality, the world is out to get me, who killed someone and doesn't think that what happened to him was justified, I could have told you that there would be maybe some insubordination there. So now he's out of a job. All right, we'll get to national news, including former FBI Director James Comey being indicted for his shell-shocking post on social media. I stole that pun from someone else. I stole it from someone else. I saw someone else say that. I stole it. I'll admit it. First, a whole bunch of you had taken the First Mark Challenge with our wonderful sponsors at First Mark Insurance. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. I've been talking to First Mark a lot this week. Turns out, you know, when you get sued, you need your insurance. So good thing I have it. Thanks, First Mark. And I have some insurance that's going to help me out in this scenario that they convinced me to get. And I was sort of like on the fence, like, here's why you need it. And then it's like a month later I needed it. So thanks, First Mark. Appreciate that. First Mark works for you, not the insurance carriers. They analyze your current coverage, making sure you're not overpaying for the wrong coverage, which could leave you at risk for financial loss. So there's a balance here. You know, they want to make sure that you aren't spending more for insurance than you need, but they also want to make sure you have the right insurance in the event that something horrible happens. So that's the balance. So reach out to First Mark Insurance, like so many Undivided viewers and listeners have, and take the First Mark Challenge today. They'll go out, they'll shop the market of carriers for you, come back with their recommendations. And we have Undivided viewers, I think the biggest savings that I've heard is $12,000 a year from Undivided viewers who took the First Mark Challenge, which is pretty cool. All right. You know, occasionally I've got to criticize President Trump and his administration. Got to slip one in there so it doesn't make me look like I'm a bootlicker. I do not get the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey over the seashell on the seashore post. So remember, he posted this thing on Instagram and he said, cool shell formation on my beach walk. And it was shells in the shape of 8647. Which, of course, is 86 Trump. Like, kill Trump is what, as soon as I see that, that's what I think it means. So he's now indicted over that. They say, the Justice Department says he threatened to kill the president. But legal experts, a lot of legal experts, and I even saw a Fox News post on this, think that this is a bit of a stretch. So Todd Blanche, who's the acting attorney general, was asked, I think, a question that I probably would have asked if I read this press conference.
How will you prove intent when, as the director had acknowledged, Mr. Comey said he did not associate 86 with doing harm and he took it down promptly, said it was political speech, not an intent to harm the president?
Well, this case was indicted today. This conduct occurred about a year ago, May 15th of last year. There's been a tremendous amount of investigation. And how do you prove intent in any case? You prove intent with witnesses, with documents, with the defendant himself to the extent it's appropriate. And that's how we'll improve intent in this case. And so I think that talking about what Mr. Comey will or will not do if there's a trial, when there's a trial, it's very premature for me to do that today.
Come on. Look, first of all, this is America, and you can wish death upon really anyone. You can say, I think it's horrible. You can say that you wish the president were dead. What you can't say is, I'm going to kill the president. Sorry, FBI, if you heard that. I'm saying what you can't say. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do this or make something actionable. And so, I mean, if just wishing President Trump were deceased or something you can be indicted for by the federal government, like half of the No Kings protesters would be indicted for their signs. So I don't know how they're going to prove that. First of all, I think it's my humble opinion that James Comey made that little shell design himself and that he didn't just stumble upon it on his walk. The former FBI director who has this long history with Trump walking on the beach and just happens upon shells that say 8647. I also don't believe that he didn't know what that means, because I think he made it himself and then posted it as if he didn't. Maybe they have proof of that. But even so, I don't think that amounts to a threat against the president's life. And I think it's protected by the First Amendment. And I don't like overreach when it comes to the First Amendment. And I don't think it'll stick unless they know something we don't know and there's more to it than just the 8647. So I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll, and thank you all for saying I still look nice without my makeup on. Appreciate that. What else are you going to say, though, really? Mm-hmm. You're right, Brandy. You look horrible. Do you agree with the decision to charge James Comey? Yes or no? Nicole, go ahead. Yes or no?
No, it's silly.
It is silly, isn't it?
It's silly, and it just gives you know, ammo to haters.
Look, I think that as a former FBI director, he should know better. He should conduct himself mm-hmm. better. He shouldn't have done it. And again, he knew what it meant, and I think he probably did it himself. But it's not against the law, and that's America. I just don't see it. But you guys disagree, but just narrowly. 56% of you say yes, you do agree with the charges. 44% say no. Yeah. Jane and Sean say, I think especially if you're a voice of authority or your name is known, you have to be very, very cautious of what you say on social media. I think you should be charged if for no other reason than showing the stupidity of sharing your every thought. I wish a lot of people would be charged for the stupidity of sharing their every thought, but, you know, that's not how the system works. Daryl says he knew what he was doing, but I'm not sure it meets the threshold for a legitimate threat.
I really don't think it should even be a question whether he knew what it said, because why else would you post that? Right. Unless it was like your address or
interesting.
It's my phone number. That's weird.
Yeah. It's like somebody makes a, you know, Nicole loves, I'm just coming up with a name. Mm-hmm. Nicole loves. I'm trying to pick a name that's not somebody we know. Nicole loves Muhammad. And I'm like, take a picture of it. Oh, interesting shell formation on the beach. Weird. I see. I don't know anybody named Muhammad. Okay. So that's why maybe I have just predicted your future husband's name.
There we go.
Jeff, yes, if for no other reason than to get the attention of other public officials or well-known figures who are signaling that violence just may be justified or even tolerated. Hydro Dog, absolutely not. Comey is a private citizen, and being 86th is not in any way threatening. And if he said, I am going to 86 the president, that's a different thing, right?
Correct.
He said, never in my life have I seen an administration so thin-skinned, but turn around and spew the most vile rhetoric, and I'm going so far as threatening to exterminate a whole civilization. Well, so,
and in theory, I mean, it means Trump get rid of, stay. It doesn't mean kill. So, it could mean kill, but it doesn't have to mean kill.
Right,
because
you can say 86 from a bar. Yeah, yeah, right? And Trump did say he was going to exterminate a whole civilization. So if now everything has to be literal, then I feel like the president would be in trouble for that.
He said he could.
I don't remember exactly what he said, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, good grief. Just let James Comey ride off into the sunset. Now, you know, if all the Russia collusion things and all those things, whatever it is, if there's another charge not related to the seashells, then by all means. But the seashells thing is so stupid. All right. I usually don't talk about polling, like political polling, because it's usually so wrong. But we saw this one. We're like, oh, God, I hope that's not true. And so we thought we'd have fun and just discuss it today. So there was a Harvard poll of 2,000 voters looking at the midterms in 2028. So it says, for the first time, because this is actually not a horrible one, the race for Congress in a dead heat with voters evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans. So it says, the question was, if the congressional election were held today, would you be more likely to vote for a Democrat or a Republican for Congress? And the GOP had been underwater on this. And so, I don't know, I'm thinking the White House Correspondents Association dinner shooting maybe helps them out a little bit. And it's always like, what's happening in the world, right? What's happening in the country? So 50-50, dead heat for that. But 2028, they asked about who would you favor to be the next Democratic candidate for president among Democrats. So they asked Democrats that question. And then who do you favor to be the next Republican candidate for president among Republicans? Okay. Kamala Harris, how dumb can you be?
I don't understand this.
50%. 50% for Kamala Harris.
It's crazy.
That is so insane. Do you love losing? And that's up 9 points from the last time they asked. Gavin Newsom, 22%. Josh Shapiro, who's maybe the only sane one on the list, 9%. Then AOC, J.B. Pritzker, and someone else. I mean, that's wild. And look, all of those options. I mean, Josh Shapiro is the only one that I think has an ounce of cross-party appeal. Or an ounce of appeal to independence. But you want to run Kamala Harris again? By all means. By all means. Please do that.
Is that because they don't know another name? I mean, if they're
maybe.
Does the East Coast not pay attention to Gavin Newsom and they just can't remember who's running? or who could run?
I don't know. But Gavin Newsom is, he's, but then the Republicans is not. The Republican one is equally disturbing.
Yeah.
Although J.D. Vance is the obvious, right? Because he's the vice president.
For
so
sure.
He's at 48%.
That is obvious.
And second, Don Trump Jr.
What?
Just because his name is Donald Trump? What is going on? Hopefully people just thought, but even if they thought it was Donald Trump, 18% were saying for a third term, which is also concerning. And then Marco Rubio, who should be one or two at 16%. I am going to say it now. I believe Marco Rubio will be the next president of the United States.
I believe he should be. I don't believe he will be.
I believe he will be. I believe that President Trump will stay neutral between him and J.D. Vance. I believe Marco Rubio will be the next president of the United States. And then they got Tucker Carlson in there at 4%. Poor Ron DeSantis, who would make a fantastic president.
I know.
You know what I need to see more than anything? I need a repeat of the debate. Best debate moment in American history. And it was a debate for nothing. Fox News is like, let's do a debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. And Ron DeSantis held up the poop map where he said, in Florida, we don't have a poop map. And it like plotted all the points where human feces had been seen in California. It was one of the most brilliant moments of a debate I've ever seen. Because what can Gavin Newsom say to that, really? I would like to see a repeat of that, but I think Marco Rubio is a much better option. I mean, they'd both be great. I think they'd both make great presidents, but I think Marco Rubio has a bigger chance of winning with the Trump crowd. Anyway, Don Trump Jr.
It's so silly.
I don't even know what to say about that.
He hasn't really said that he even wants to, has he? I mean, I know that people talk about it, but he hasn't said anything.
Not that I know of.
And I think he would just get
crushed.
Brutalized yeah. over his social media posts.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So I don't know
what
that's about.
Worse than his dad with those. So,
all right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, get a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. Get second opinions on all sorts of things. So why not do it when it comes to one of the most important financial decisions that you're making in your life? And that's how you invest your money for retirement. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Our friend Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwer Capital will help you cut through the market noise. If you've got questions about AI, crypto, tech, what's happening in Iran, they'll talk about the real fundamentals of value investing, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower your risk, lower your cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com to schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review. And while you're there, subscribe to Zach's daily market recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, some comments from the live stream on the federal indictment and the attack against Savannah Hernandez. Moon Goddess says, the blue states want anyone who disagrees with them to be hurt and scared, easier to control, and less opposition to their crazy ideology they are trying to shove down our throats. Insanity. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the world is against me these days. I mean, I got this like stupid PDC complaint that's going to be easy to defeat, but it came the same day as a lawsuit. And I'm just like, who's pulling the strings on these puppets?
I feel like that's a sign you're doing something right.
Who's pulling the strings on these puppets?
But yes, Sarah, it does feel like there's somebody.
The world's against me. All right, country guy. The liberals used to be pacifists back when I was one. Now they've become thugs. Yeah,
that's true.
Sunny Days, PNW, hooray, actual federal charges against Antifa. And I don't think that these family is not who I would characterize as Antifa per se. They're like an unhinged just family of radicals. And I think the daughter's boyfriend was deported. Her dad was deported. So she's like vehemently anti-ICE. But I have never believed in prosecuting a label. I think you prosecute conduct. And their conduct is Antifa-like for sure. Mm-hmm. Actually, federal charges against Antifa. Finally, some movement from the Trump administration after the Antifa panel. Now they need to keep going to make this insanity stop. Yeah, and after I read the indictment, I want to see if there's anything in there that would allow the feds to go after the person who tried to blind be with wasp killer. Because I think local police, for all their efforts, have run out of investigative tactics on that one. Alice Marie, as long as we have the Trump appointed U.S. attorneys, they will prosecute these cases. The Dem appointed USAs, like when Nick Brown was the U.S. attorney, they won't. Glad to see it finally happening. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, this is for 3 years, basically, where they're going to actually prosecute left-wing extremism. So we need to make the biggest dent that we can make in 3 years. And I just to be honest, I mean, Nick Brown did prosecute as the United States attorney a couple of the cases from the Summer of Love in 2020, like the people who lit the cop cars on fire. So they didn't let everything go, but certainly there were many more cases that could have been prosecuted that weren't. Let's see. On Mayor Wilson saying bye to the millionaires and then laughing, Baron of Gray Matter, recall and or no confidence vote against Katie for obviously implementing and supporting ideologies that are hurting the Seattle public. It's criminal. Yeah, but the Seattle voters aren't going to recall her.
No.
That's who would have to recall her. They're not going to do it.
Nope. Stuck with her.
Or, as a mayor, Wilson makes a great catty teenage girl. So unserious. I know.
She is. Very unserious. And you know that clip she talks about, only that was the first thing she did, and it was like 9 years ago. She's only been here for 9 years. Like, all these people that have, you know, invested their life here,
yeah,
and had all of this, you know, have had all these successes and fails and seen their city go downhill, mm-hmm, and she's come in and just took it right down
with no experience. And I'm not saying she's not a Seattleite, not a Washingtonian. I mean, so many Seattleites and people like are
I didn't say
new,
that I just mean
but, yeah, I get it.
Here you go.
Here you go. Be the mayor, the socialist with no experience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Matthew Cook, there is something mentally wrong with you to use the word exciting to take money from people that you had no involvement in earning. It's immoral. I agree.
True.
Being excited about any taxation is so strange to me. It gives me the ick. It's very weird. So the kids say, it gives me the ick. On the governor caring more about illegals than citizens, Old Sub Sailor, with a $50 super chat. Wow. I'll put it in my legal defense fund. Keep up the good work, Undivided team. Keep us aware of what Ferguson is up to. Papa Woody, $2 for calling Bob out. Thank you. Brother Abe, $1.99. I love that. I love that. You know, I'll take that to the dollar store. Nothing's a dollar there anymore.
Nope,
do you notice
not.
There's more dollar stores than ever, though? They've become very popular.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But you can't get anything for a dollar.
It's all, well, I think officially it's $1.25 now, right? But then now some things are like
$5. Yeah, I bought a garbage can there for like four something. I was like, what? I should have been able to buy four of these.
Right.
Hacksum Niner, Bob is fine with kids living in abuse and neglect and living in tents with their drug addicted parents. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about these people. Korean Yoon, Bobby's claim that he received claims of maltreatment in ICE processing centers is most likely fraudulent. Yeah, I'm sure there are some activist groups who tell them, here's what you should say. Yes. We can kind of try to get you transferred out. I'm not saying that. I mean, I've been there, so I can say it with some level of, you know, confidence that I saw a very clean, tidy facility. And granted, it was a day where they were bringing the press through. So I don't know. Is it the most pleasant place on earth to be? No. Would I want to be there?
It's not supposed to be an all-inclusive resort.
Right. I know. So we'll see what evidence they find. On the emergency hearing today on the sheriff's law, Baron of Gray Matter, he said, I'm tired of Let's Go Washington and We the Governed. All these right-wing orgs only whine. They are afraid to get out into the street and push back. Too polite. Let's Go Washington is like one of the only entities in the state that actually accomplishes anything and spends a lot of money doing it.
Only whine?
Only whine. No, and We the Governed, totally off base, Baron of Gray Matter. We the Governed, the amount of work and investigative work that he does to expose corruption, and that's a rule. It's not everybody's job to be out in the streets like what? Fighting? What is that?
I don't know.
Some people's role is to expose things and hope that people in a position of authority can act on it. So no.
And he does whatever.
Totally disagree.
Yeah. Everyone in those groups does as much media as they can when the media feels the need to cover anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what else you do other than expose it.
Yeah. On the governor hiring a murderer and then firing him, Greg said the state law says you cannot work for state service for 7 years after your prison sentence is over. The math ain't mathin'. So let's see. He was got out in 2019. So that would have been 6 years, five or so years.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Maybe they've changed that law that
I'm
you
not
can't
sure.
do
Maybe
that.
Maybe it's a type of role. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's part of this. He didn't really have a long history of good behavior or like a resume that said, like, this person is a good employee. He doesn't talk back.
He didn't have a resume because he'd been in prison since he was 14.
His attitude is great. None of
that
stuff is there.
That'd be your first job, right? Because at 14, I'm sure he wasn't employed. Your first job, you're making $143,000 a year for the government.
Right out of jail.
Man.
Yeah.
Because we know he wasn't getting paid for his speeches because he complained about that.
Right. And he got out right before COVID. So, I mean, I'm sure he didn't have a job in that first few months and then COVID. So I guarantee he did not have many jobs
government
in a couple
work.
Months before he got this job.
It's good if you can get it. A couple other super chats will fit in. Ronald Spins. I love Undivided. Thank you. Rick Robbins. Every day my disdain grows for leftists. I learned more about the Constitution in the eighth grade. And Rick says, no eye makeup doesn't mean this episode counts as this month's Q&A. Because whenever I do Q&As with viewers, I do them at 8 p.m. at night with no makeup on whatsoever. So, yeah, I get it, Rick. I get it.
Too funny.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Good stuff.
With that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right. This is interesting. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rawlins. So they're looking at SNAP benefits, right? And trying to crack down on abuse of SNAP benefits. She said she found in one state, and not even a blue state, rampant abuse of SNAP benefits from people who could afford luxury vehicles.
Just one red state, the recent dump of data, we found SNAP recipients had more than 2,000 Tesla owners, 200 Alfa Romeo owners, more than 144 that were receiving food stamps were driving Porsches. Again, this is the data dumps we're getting because that before we had no accountability on any of these programs. We now are requiring accountability. The blue states are suing us. They don't want to share the data. And can you imagine, this was a red state where there is actually some taxpayer accountability. Imagine what's happening in the blue states.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. I mean, 14,000 people in one state, one red state, driving what she characterizes as luxury vehicles. And no wonder the blue states want to hide that data from the federal government because it's not going to be good. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. Nicole, do you have our promo graphic? Mm-hmm. Let me put on my best salesperson cap. Boop. There it is. I hate selling the show, but I've got to do it. So we do a promo for the show one time a year, only one time a year. Go to patreon.com/undivided. We do the promo on Patreon because that's our largest community. USA30 is the code. USA30 is the code. It's good for any of our tiers. 30% off an entire year. And that makes it like what? Like three something a month?
Whoa,
what a screaming deal.
That is.
So if you've
half
been
a gallon
freeloading,
of gas.
I'm talking directly to you. If you've been freeloading, I meet people all the time. Brandy, I love your show. Now that I've met you, I'll stop freeloading. You don't have to wait to meet me. Might never happen. Patreon.com/undivided. Promo code USA30. And I'm not even going to tell you when the promo is going to end. Could end tomorrow. Could end in 10 minutes. Could end in a month. You better go sign up now. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. And Nicole doesn't like my shirt today. I could tell the second I walked in. She said it looked like a baby's
blanket.
It's like
a cape.
No, it's got kind of like, it kind of goes across.
It's like a little, it's a baby blanket cape.
That is the look I was going for. That has been, I can tell as soon as I walk in the door every day if Nicole likes my outfit or not. Today was a hard no. That has been today's, in case you thought you had a good poker face, you don't. That has been, oh yeah, when your friend tells you your shirt looks like a baby blanket, tells you all you need to know. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. She's like crying over there. For your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Support the show. What did I say? Promo code. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow for a final live show of the week.